right. I know people will keep on coming in, but I want to make the most of our 45 minutes. And so let's just pray and jump right in. Lord, thank you. As we awake this morning, as our senses start to roll, as our synapses start to connect, you are from everlasting to everlasting. You have ordained paths for us to walk in. You have called us with works to do. You have set the days of our lives. Lord, thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. So as we come into a new day, Lord, you are already here, having paved the road before us, having carried us as far, and we look to you right from the beginning and say, come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Please lead us. We need you. We need to understand your word. We need to understand your voice. We need to hear you. Help us, Lord. Amen. So as a point of reference to help me, and again, this is not shame, but how many were able to...
Do you want this start?
I think it's on, right? I think Dave... We didn't do it the last time.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's good.
Automatic. I don't know how Dave Wilcox does that magic, but it works. How many were able to download and listen to the message this week? Okay, great. So what we've noticed is for some of us, if you're on a laptop and you hit listen, it works fine. I found if we're on a device and hit listen, for some reason, a number of us is not taken. But if you hit download, there's sermon audio notes and sermon. And so you can download the sermon. And now you download it. And like Teresa's like, so I downloaded it. Where is it? You know, if you go to files, which is the app on your phone that looks like a file, and you hit recent, that's where you'll probably find it. And you can click it there and be able to play it. All right. So technology. What I'm going to do is... try to give a 5-minute recap on the message. I like this one in the sense that he jumps right in both feet. Let me from the offset, from the outset, or outside, from the outset, I really appreciate my son Chad, you know, pulled me aside last week. It was really good. Because I wanted to share something like that, which is this. I definitely don't fully understand this, okay? I'm trying to lead us as a group into grabbing hold of what's there. And we have scripture, which is right there. We can see the scripture. But I'm amazed that even though scripture is revelatory of so many things, you know, it really doesn't tell you how to parent. It really doesn't tell you how to be the care group. It doesn't tell you, you know, there's so many the practical things of life. It's not spelled out. It's not that kind of a book. There are principles and wisdom and stuff that are applicable to all these areas. So in that sense, it shouldn't be surprising as we come into the gifts. It's kind of like, okay, how am I supposed to stand? How am I supposed to sit? You almost have to, you know, what we're trying to do, we want to walk in this. How do we do this? And we're almost having to infer. So I'm going to come from a place of humility saying, I don't know. As we interchange and share, may God give us a little bit of wisdom and get us started in the right direction. I'm going to keep trying to say, here's guesses. So I'll start with one right at the beginning. It is amazing that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and nobody needed a class on how to speak in tongues. All the same thing with Cornelius, baptism. You know, all of a sudden, like, everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and worshiping God in tongues. It's like, okay, there wasn't a class on that. Like, so what happened? Paul is writing to the Corinthians and saying, you are overflowing with gifts. Did you do gift seminars? I don't think so. Now, in all that, I'm not, please, saying anything against learning from others, learning from teaching and stuff like that. I read books on prayer, you know? So there's a natural aspect and there's a learning aspect. But in things that are unclear, and this is where I think Sam Storm did a very good job. Here's where we're going to the notes. So, for those who were not able to listen, he is picking up on 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to go there right now. And if you've looked ahead, you're seeing he's actually, for the most part, working exegetically through 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, which we did half a year ago. Now, he's going, you know, he's grabbing other more detailed topics. Anybody who preaches exegetically is still focusing on, you know, where is it that the Lord, where is the Holy Spirit leading me to take this? But this entire message is coming out of 1 Corinthians 12, 8, and I'll pick up at 7. To each us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To us, for others. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And so he makes this incredible thing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. This is the only place in the New Testament that you'll see that phraseology. So, well, that's not very helpful. And he says there's nothing in the Greek, in the word tense and stuff, to give us a hint of that much more. And so for him, and I appreciate his humble stance too, he's going to go to the narrative sections of the Gospels and Acts. And what he did was walk through a number of those, just different stories where it seems to him this may be a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and just connecting the dots and just leading us that way. Then he went into what I thought a very interesting section where he started talking about Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon, one of the most loved preachers, one of the most respected. It was interesting, we got in a conversation about him yesterday in a totally different class, and there was something about him being very likable. One thing you need to know about Spurgeon, he struggled with severe depression, and God gave him an articulation of linguistic ability. So he seemed to have able to connect with people, and his language was just amazing on being able to create imagery and vivid pictures, and was so biblically based that all these things work. Now, he never says he's charismatic. It's never written about him that way. But when you read his autobiography, he's doing these charismatic things. And he grabs several stories which are just outstanding, where he's in the midst of preaching and all of a sudden it's like, you, that pair of gloves is not yours, return it, It's like, And people are talking about, they start getting scared of coming to his services because, like, how does he know me, and what's he got to tell everybody about me, Now, what I take from that is I just wonder, because I remember reading some time ago, it's like, okay, if the gifts did not cease with the apostles, then why haven't we seen them for 2,000 years? Mm-hmm. Well, historically, we have. If you know church history, you see these movements. But there's a category that I wonder if much more of it is operating and people are just not seeing it that way. I don't think anybody says, Charles Spurgeon, word of knowledge. I don't think it came across that way. And so to what degree are people moving in things? I don't know. This is Steve's supposition, right? But I'm saying that in part because I'm trying to broaden our picture here. To, as we stepping out, not despising the day of small beginnings, trying to sense what the Holy Spirit's doing, and trying to even be aware of things that we always considered gifts, but did we consider them natural gifts, genetic gifts, and which of them are spirit gifts, and can we discern between those. Paul says at one point, what do you have that you were not given? So no matter what the gift is, if we're given that. But we're, as we're trying to grow in this, I just want to keep a little bit more soft borders between these things. Make sense? All right. From there, if talking about, then he went into discernment of spirits. Which I briefed over the stories that he talked about, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but they were in a different place in the gospel, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, for instance, and he says, go and bring your husband. And she says, I have no husband. He says, you're right. You've had six husbands, and the man you are living with now is not your husband. Here's the woman's response when she goes back to her village. He told me everything I ever did. Did he tell her everything he ever did? No, but this piece of information, she's all of a sudden recognizing, what doesn't God know? That is one of the beautiful effects of the gift of the word of knowledge. You just have this sense that God is present, and what I thought was hidden is known. Well, does that help with salvation? It should. It should help with the fear of the Lord. So not only that, but this one's probably more in the realm of a discerning of spirits, where Peter and John come down and they are baptizing people in the Spirit. Simon the magician, who up to that point in the text seems to be a Christian, was baptized, was following everything. He sees him and says, give me this power also. And Peter has this phrase, I see that your heart is not right before God. Was that because of a statement that he wanted to buy the gifts, or is there something more? And he's going in very strong. If you remember the story in Acts where different people are just provoked by the Holy Spirit and they're selling their lands and property, bringing it, laying at the apostles' feet, and it's being distributed to the poor. And Ananias and Sapphira, thank you. My brain's going there, like, did I get the names right? They come and they say, first to Ananias, then later to Sapphira, is this what you sold it for? Yes. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? How did he know that? And they drop dead. And each one's a different drop dead. But, that's the kind of thing that's, in this spectrum of word of knowledge, that's way over here, okay? That's like, but there are words of knowledge that are, gotta seem much more tame, normal. All right? So he's hit these three gifts, and the other thing that he's shared about them is he called these all revelatory gifts. In other words, they operate because God is saying something that's not like written down in the Word. There's something here that's being shared from God that's not general. And he talks about Christians who have struggled with this, and he gets it. Because if I'm moving in these things, am I therefore not leaning on the Word? And as he points out, both are in Scripture. One is for sure rooted in heaven forever, the Word of God. Gifts are to be judged, and held up, but they're still supposed to operate. But he, of these four gifts, prophecy is also revelatory, but he's holding that off for a later talk. So, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And then at the last, he ended up giving out 10 practical guidelines, which I thought these were good. I'm going to hand them out as just a print of the handout. So, pass those around, everybody grab one. And I think he has some real good wisdom there as far as. As you're trying to do this, what are some things that you can do? So he has some practical suggestions that are listed there. So that's the content of the message. Let's start with just any questions, thoughts you had from the reading, anything of that nature.
Do you have any more?
Come there. I can send out, who else did not get one?
Just make sure there's not two in your, what you're holding two.
Go ahead, I printed out 30.
It's all right, I can share with her.
I will, I'll also send that on the attachment on the email this week. All right.
Yeah, I think that's easy.
You got electronic. Right. Any just questions or thoughts or what you've read, heard so far?
I appreciated that he said that gift of discernment is so important right now, that it really is something we should be praying for, just because as we do speak to people, for us to be able to say back to them, let me pray for you for this, or even in a conversation with somebody that you know, have some kind of relationship with, that you could say, I think this is what God's doing, or but somehow just, or and I'm sorry, I'm not even saying it very well, because it's more the discerning of what's going on, but that God wants us to know more deeply what is going on so we can pray more clearly.
Did that surprise you?
Yeah.
His statement was, is there any gift that is more needed in the body of Christ today? And I'm thinking, I think so. Yeah. But he's been around a lot more than I, and for him, he's raising it to that level. I'm like, okay, so what am I missing here? But that was very, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Press forward, Lord, help us. Amen. And I go back to what he shared in the last message is, you know, do I have all the gifts when I got baptized? No. Several passages, seek, ask. And am I as experienced and practice in any of the gifts? No. Both of these things we can grow in. So encouraging for a class who's seeking to do this. Now, does anybody here, and a little bit of a, you know, just trying to do this as family, feel that they've exercised a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom in the past?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think just recently, I mean, I don't know how to categorize this, but we have a granddaughter who's very active and energetic, but that can get her into trouble, too. Our birthdays are similar. We're 2 days apart, and I was praying for her, and I just had this picture of the Niagara Falls. And, you know, the Niagara Falls is powerful, it's beautiful, it's God-glorifying. People take vacations near it. People get married near it, and you know, the cascading of endless power and water droplets and so forth. And I just had a sense that that was a word for this granddaughter, that yes, she's got energy and joy, but to harness that, that's God glorified, or that can be God glorified. And that, you know, people come into Niagara Falls, that God would have people come into her at some point in her life that would be pointed to Christ. And that just this image of the water coming over nonstop, that would be image of God's grace and love in her life. It's just like if one water droplet was a kiss from God, and you've got nonstop pouring water. So anyway, her birthday's in a couple days. I've ordered a Niagara Falls book and printed that up. So anyway, but just say, I don't know where that came from, but and I don't know how to categorize it, but I think it can be encouraging to her mom and dad, and then hopefully to her.
Now, so a couple things pull up in Jim. There's a later class I'm planning to interview Jim at some point. I've been able to pray with him for a number of years, and these pictures are regular, and I'm always blessed by how spot on they are. So what is that? Is that a word of wisdom? Is that a word of knowledge?
Yeah.
Is that prophecy? So how many here have received ministry with Darby Slayton, who he's been to the church a couple times in the past? So to me, as Darby is functioning, and as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, that's word of knowledge. I remember the first time that I met him in Maury Wilson's basement, and we actually came to bring another person who needed prayer. And so I'm, you know, anything new, I'm a little bit, you know, all right, just checking out. It's like, I think he started ministry, and I'm like the third person. He just comes right up to me, and he just starts reading my life. And it's just, it is a weird experience, you know? It's just like, you know, he just starts going on, and it's like, all right. Now, he calls himself prophetic. He sees that as prophecy. I see it as word of knowledge. This is a great example of, do I have to really get the definition right or understand? I don't think so. Again, all these are revelatory gifts. A God who speaks, and we believe in a God who speaks. He has spoken in his word. He speaks in creation. He speaks in our heart. He speaks in circumstances, you know. So I'm not going to too much, but, you know, have to draw the lines. I don't know. Others, Dave, you raised your hand. You said you felt, you said you stepped down on word of knowledge, or you felt like you had done that before?
Oh, yeah. I went down to Brazil with a group called Global Awakening, and they did a little training manual before we went, and said how words of knowledge come. And so they said, you just ask for one and go with it. And whatever comes to you, and it come in different ways, and I don't want to take all the time to explain right now, but I had something on my thigh that I felt pressure, and I thought, well, that's too gentle. I need something else. God, give me something else. And just a picture of a knee. So I called when they went around. They brought us up on stage, and they just had a microphone. We just went and down the line, and I just had someone's knee. And I had like three people come up. They get prayer for a knee, and all of them got healed. It was really cool. And then we went through our little line there, and we went down the stage, and we're looking for people, want to get filled with the Spirit, get prayed for. And we got several people, not several, like three or four more people healed, and came up to the center. And there was this one girl waiting in line, said, can we pray for you? And they're in Portuguese there, so I have a translator. And try to figure out what's going on with her. She says, I have something right here, and it's right where I didn't give the word, but I felt it. And it was, she had like cysts or something right above her thigh. And only me and God knew that. And it wasn't like I gave it, but somehow God worked it out where I, you know. So anyhow, I prayed for her, and her eyes brightened, and she goes, it's getting hot. You know, and I thought, oh, this is so cool. and I said, well, is it gone? And she said, almost. It's getting smaller. Mm-hmm. So let's pray again. I prayed again, and then the Holy Spirit came on her really strong, and she went down. And, they, as I was reading the manual later, they said, don't leave the person if they go down. Stay with them and pray through it. And I didn't know that. I would have.
So a couple things with what Dave's sharing, and Sam hit this, is asking, the connection between these gifts and healing is always seems to be something. And some of his stories, you know, that he shares, if you didn't get to listen to the message, definitely do, because as a matter of fact, it was this tape that he had the people come up and start sharing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm already ahead on the third one, so he does that as a practice. And what I love about that is you just, you know, we're sitting there, well, so what does it look like? And you get at least a little bit of sense of what it looks like, because you have different personalities and how they're sharing and the way God's moving them. So that, and the second thing that I think that Dave shared that I think is cool, is you notice how the Holy Spirit did something encouraging to him. He had this hip thing, you know, as a person in line, you know, and I got this hip thing, you know. Over the years, sometimes you feel like you have a word on a Sunday and you don't share it, you know. and then all of a sudden events happen, like, oh my gosh, I was right on. And me, I used to just take that, oh, kick myself, you know? Oh, I should have done this. No, that's the Holy Spirit encouraging you, you know? Okay, you're in the right realm. You know, you're going down this thing. And I've turned around and encouraged other people who have come up to me either at the prophecy mic or afterwards and stuff like that. I said, be encouraged. You're hearing, you know, and the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us where we're hearing because it's a learning process. I love one, and I think it's on that thing where he says, you know, don't go into this assumption that now when you're hearing the voice of the Lord, that every time you hear a voice, it's the Lord, you know. It's you're training, you're trying to, and that's where, above all, we've got to keep humble. We've got to just, I don't know. And that's where, even as I'm going to pray for them, hey, I don't know, I'm going to share this with you. You know, keeping that kind of an attitude. Because why? Because we're walking in love, we're walking to serve people. You know, so we're not trying to mess them up. But if you're doing that, if you're genuinely caring for them, loving, wanting to see their good, and you're doing it humbly, saying, well, if it's God, it's got to work, and if it's not, not a lot of damage done. Sorry.
I'll keep this short. You know, a few times when I go to work early in the morning, I'm alone. I like to have a quiet time. I remember one time, I think the Holy Spirit seems to be included of something about why Christ waited 2 days before he went to raise the servant from the dead. The message I got is, the Father is in control of everything. Because the different books I've been reading related to healing in that area just keep coming up. Christ keeps saying, the things that I do not do what I know, I do what the Father does. I see what the Father do. What I do like with the Father. I cannot do anything on my own. Well, it is. So I put myself in that position. I cannot do anything on my own. Don't depend on yourself. Depend on me. I'm in control. That's why Christ says, I thank you, Father, so they can hear me what I have to say about you waiting 2 more days. They know what's going on. He is completely in control under all circumstances whatsoever, no matter what. So when I got that impression, I kind of back away from my, what do you call it, hard head, trying to figure it out. When I relax, the scriptures amplify to the point where I said, whoa.
So
it's relaxed, you know. He's in control. Yes. So one more respect I had at Macuda High School years ago when I'm brand new. I don't know anything about Christianity other than the Roman Catholic Church. And this Chinese girl was standing right here because she was so pretty. I said, whoo, I turned around. You need me pray for this? Yes. For what? I had cancer in the blood and I don't know anything, so I prayed for her. 2 weeks later, she came and says, I'm here. And yeah, it's going on forever. So he's in control.
Wow.
Anyway.
Good. Cool. Thanks, Frank. That's awesome. He is in control. So one of the things I love that Frank's underlining here, this walk of what we're trying to do is a walk of humility and obedience, which is something we just constantly need to be doing in the Christian life. You know? And so hearing and obeying the voice of God. Check on the time. That's for 2 minutes.
Yeah. One more thing, comment is just, I think that one of the things that God wants us to have as an attitude is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, fools despise knowledge, and that's where fools despise knowledge and whatever, discipline. Anyway, I think that as we seek to kind of ask God to grow in wisdom, things like that, we think that he will lead us into more of that reverent submission, which is kind of another way of saying the fear of the Lord.
Yeah. Good.
Amen.
Just have one
experience in our own church there. You know, Mark Maka, who is the pastor of Mount Airy Church. A few years ago, we used to have this monthly meet every other time. We have 3 days of prayer from Friday to maybe Saturday or something. I was already given a referral to pull my wisdom teeth. And he just said, somebody is here who has been referred to remove his wisdom teeth. Mm. He wants brothers to gather around him and pray for him. He doesn't need it.
Hmm.
And he prayed for me, but I still have my wisdom teeth today.
Wow.
That was
several months ago, I told him, he said, Tyler, you should have shared it with me longer.
Awesome.
So this is in our midst, yeah. You know. Yeah. And that was really spectacular.
Sean.
No, I just wanted to clarify a point on the fear of the Lord aspects and the blurring of the lines between categories and personal abilities, whether you're a smart person, and you get into a situation. And if you're fearing God, then I guess you'd not want to be like, that was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, no. Like, or, but then you don't want to be on the other side, sort of a pride spectrum, and that's just what I'm trying to figure out. Like, claim what's the Holy Spirit, what not, and then what leads over into just you were given that gift of empathy or whatever in or helps.
Yes.
Like, it's hard to line those up.
I mean, well, all good gifts come from God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that at the beginning.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all goes back to him, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Even the wisdom he's bestowed on different individuals.
Yeah.
And knowledge and
such. Sean, if you're saying what gift Yvonne has, on the spot, it's the only one that comes to mind. He grew up with her, so.
There's lots of
them. I'm just seeing if this is of God or not. Thinking too long, so I lost my
So absolutely, word of knowledge and wisdom, absolutely, being able to speak into a person's life, mm-hmm. of this is specifically what's going on, and mm-hmm. and how do you know that
this is specifically what's going on? See, we had a long conversation, and this ties in with what you're saying, Sean. I believe Yvonne, to me, I think she's walking in the discernment of spirits. I just, ever since, she is a discerning person. All right, well, is she, you know, is that a natural gift? Is that a spiritual gift? But there's places where it just seems past the rational side. And the reason I picked on Sean, there are times in my vague memory where the boys walked in, she goes, what were you guys doing? What do you mean? You were doing something wrong. How'd you know? Really, I mean, those kind of things where there's this gut instinct of something that I've just seen, like, come out later. And, you know, they used to talk that, you know, Miss Wiska had eyes in the back of her head, you know. So again, what is that? Is that mom's intuition? Is that personality? I don't know. But at least I'm seeing it function, like, in that kind of way. So... that's the point.